If you have a copy of God's Word, will you join with me in the book of Acts? We're going to continue our study in Acts this morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 16. Again, Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 16. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by your own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorify his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and the righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. In his name, by faith, in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Let us ask the Lord for helping us with this passage today. Our Father God, Lord, we come again to this passage here in Acts. How you, Lord, you have shown your grace, Lord, and your mercy, Lord, towards this man that was lame. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see that, Lord, you are God that heals. But only, Lord, not only that, Lord, we see that you are faithful God, that you give mercy and mercy, Lord, even to those who have doubted you, Lord, those who even have killed you, Lord. You have still, Lord, have shown them, Lord, your power and your grace. And not only them, Lord, you have shown it to us. So this morning, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to see your glory, to see the grace you have given to us, Lord, and let us, Lord, cling to you this morning. And let us, Lord, see the beauty of you this morning, Lord, as we learn more about, Lord, your goodness, Lord, to unbelievers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yesterday we had a singles class, and one of the things it talks about is intimacy and true friendship. And one of the things we pointed at, friendship is kind of unique in our day. You get on Facebook and you add a person as a friend. Even though that person might be your friend on Facebook, they might not truly know you deeply. They might know you because you went to high school with them. You might play on a sports team with them. But truly, they truly don't know you deeply. So today we have the minister word friendship. Friendship in the biblical day would be an actual relationship that a friend would be there with that person doing the good and doing the bad. And one of the illustrations I gave yesterday was an illustration of a person winning the lotto, which I don't support the lottery. A person winning the lottery and they win a lot of money. And all of a sudden, they gain all these friends. You ask the question, what did all these friends come from? Well, we know the friends came from. They came from everywhere. You win a lot of money, you want to be around a person that has a lot of money. And so we see that it's not true friendship. A true friend is there doing the good and doing the bad. That reminds me of in our text today, This man that was lame, and by this man being lame, he could have just been healed by Peter and went on his way. What we find out here, though, is that he was healed by Peter and he clung to Peter. And why did he cling to Peter? Because he wanted to leave everything else behind. And he wanted others to see that as well. And it brings us to our text today, and it brings us to this story today, that Peter now is before all the rest of these unbelievers, which he was there before them at first, Now it's going to be a major another proclamation for them to see that God is faithful. And just how this man right here that wasn't faithful and that was lame, he left everything behind. Now Peter is calling the Jewish leaders as well to leave everything behind to follow Christ. And how are we going to do it today? We're going to do it in 3 points. Seeking the things for selfish gain in verse 11. Point number two, the Lord reveals the motives of the heart, verses 12 through 15. And the last point we're going to finish off with today is going to be our only hope is faith through Jesus in verse 16. And I can give a title of this message today. I would say, you killed the author of life. Again, you killed the author of life. So look at point number one. Seeking things for selfish gain. Verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon. The man that used to be lame, who many walked over and ignored, is seen as a man now that has hope. He left the place that brought disparity, the place that he would use as a place to beg, right there before the beautiful gate, the place he would use to meet people that would come into the city. The place of Israel would be Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city that had walls all around it. And it had actually 12 gates representing the 12 tribes. Over time, the 12 gates actually represented different names. Because the 12 gates is actually the different tribes were coming to the city from the different areas that was allotted to them. But over time, the name of the 12 came changed to different things. And so the gate right here that this man was actually sitting at was called the Beautiful Gate. This would be a place when people would come in town for the Jewish feast. You guys know it here in our day at Palm Bluff is the homecoming. Well, homecoming come in town, everybody is out. You're trying to buy your turkey legs. Everybody's out and everything, meeting everybody, friends and people that have left the city and have came back. In a similar way, here in Jerusalem, when it would actually be a feast, people would come in through the major gate. And they would come in through the gate and they'll actually be there to barely celebrate. So the people that was lame, the people that couldn't walk, they would be right there at the gate waiting on people to come in. Because when they come into the gate, you want to spend a lot of money on what to harvest and on fruits and vegetables, all of these things. So they sit right there, the people that was lame or people that were had some type of disability, they sit there and beg. There'll be a time that the man will receive a lot of money at this gate. But we saw last week that this begging man left his most important place. The most important place where he get all his money from. He left it behind. He wants something that was better than money. He left the beautiful gate because he saw the glory of Christ through his apostles. He understood that the money could not satisfy him. Begging every day could not satisfy him. Asking for things every day could not satisfy him. He got money some days. A lot of days people walked over him. But he found out that Christ can truly meet his needs. We see here today that this man clung to Peter and John. He didn't just get healed and depart from the apostles, but he wanted to commit his life to following these apostles. So he used the word he clung to them. Clung is derived from the word karateo in the Greek, which means powerful, strong, and dominion. And you might ask a question, how does that even make sense? The word clung means powerful, strong, and dominion. The reason why it might not make sense is because the word is actually in the participle. It is translated to apply strength, to apply this power, to apply this dominion, to apply this strength in here. The man left him behind to not only follow the apostles, but to show his love for the apostles by holding on to them in an aggressive way. He clung to them with a lot of strength. It's like he used all his strength to hold on to them. Nothing was going to separate him from these apostles. He loved the apostles so much now, as they had shared the gospel with him. They have healed him through the power of Jesus. They left everything behind, and he clung to them. And his word is so strong that nobody can separate him from these apostles. After he heard this greatest news, that Jesus has power and dominion, that Jesus can give life. He couldn't walk, but now he can leap up and hold to these apostles. And the people at Solomon's portico was astonished. But let me be clear. They was not astonished at the power of Jesus, these people that was around. They was astonished that the man that used to walk over now can walk. They were so amazed that this man can actually walk now. They wasn't looking for Jesus. The beggar can get off the ground and go as he pleases now. They were amazed by it. They were drawn to the miracle, not the miracle worker. Again, they were drawn to the miracle, but not the miracle worker. It will remind me of John 2. Jesus said the same thing of John 2. He said he did not commit himself to them because their heart was so far away from them, him. And family, this is something we should not look over. What are we drawn to today? Why are we here today in this body meeting right now? Are we here just to show off our talents? Are we here to see what we can get out of church? What are we drawn to here today? So nobody wants to say, hey, he missed church. What are you drawn to today? Are you following Christ so you can just get on to your selfish desires? You want more money? You want a wife? You want a husband? A bigger house? You want all of these things Jesus can give you? Is that why you're here today? If so, I don't know what's the difference between you and Judas. Judas was following Jesus only for his selfish gain. He followed Christ everywhere, but his motives were tainted even from the jump. He wanted to profit off of Jesus. So he had the money bag. He was taking money out of the money bag. He was just misusing the money bag only for his selfish gain. Again, what profit are we seeking here this morning? Because when times get hard, we don't want Jesus. When times get hard, we want anger. We want lust. We want pride. We want many other things when times get hard. What are we here to seek today? These people here before this man, they was here before him to be able to see the miracle. And they want to be able to be close to the one that give miracles, but they didn't want the miracle worker. They stood in amaze at the work, but they didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Solomon portico was a part of this remnant of the temple remaining for the day of Solomon. This is a special place for the Jewish community, but also the same place where Jesus stood during his earthly ministry. But before Jesus stood there, he healed a man being born blind in John chapter 9. We talked about this on Bible study now. That the book of Acts, real quick, the book of Acts is mirroring the gospel. The person that actually wrote the book of Acts is a guy named Luke. Luke also has a gospel. Luke writes the gospel very similar in the way he writes the book of Acts. I mentioned to you guys earlier. In the gospel starts off in the wedding scene in Luke. You have this picture of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And all this waiting has Mary comes in and getting ready to give birth to a son. All this history is waiting for Jesus to be born. And so Luke picks up on this. Luke shows this picture of how everybody is waiting on Jesus to come. But Acts does the same thing. As the apostles that are waiting, they're actually waiting on the Spirit to come. So what happens? Actually, in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus comes, one of the first things we see what happened to Jesus, Jesus is commissioned by the Father. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." What happened in the book of Acts? The Spirit comes down and overpower these disciples and the people of the Galilean and encourages them to go forward in power and sharing the gospel with those around them. So the Spirit commissions them to come together. And now in the book of Luke, after Jesus has given this Spirit at baptism, the Spirit comes down at baptism. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus goes out now. He calls his disciples to follow him. In the book of Acts, after Peter and those guys get the Spirit, now they go out and proclaim. Now they start a church there, we see in Jerusalem, at the end of the chapter. So these Jews right here that probably were part of the crucifixion of Christ, they leave things behind and they follow now Peter and the apostles. The disciples, they left things behind to follow Jesus. You guys see the parallel here? What is happening within Luke? And the same thing in Acts. Now we see Peter is healed a man that was lame through the power of Jesus. And also in the same way, Jesus in John 9 actually healed a man that was born blind. It's showing us right here that Jesus is not dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. That Jesus is continuing to do work through these apostles. And not only that, Jesus proclaimed the faithfulness of his Father before them at Solomon Portico. And now we see Peter stands here at Solomon Portico as well to continue what Jesus has done as well. So Jesus' ministry is mirrored right now here in the book of Acts. Jesus preached an amazing sermon to these unbelievers at Solomon Portico. And now Peter would preach an amazing sermon to unbelievers at Solomon Portico. This is amazing. Jesus told his disciples that they were going to do greater works than him. And now we see right here, greater is not meaning that they're going to be able to be more powerful than Jesus, but they're going to be able to take the gospel in a major numbers to places that Jesus didn't go to. Jesus' ministry was kind of limited only to like Israel. But now Jesus is going to use his apostle to take the gospel outside of Israel. And the people are going to run and see the works of the Lord. And not to accept the Lord, but to see what they can see, the beauty of the Lord eventually. But the people right here, these unbelievers that Peter is referring to right here, these people only are there to see what they can get from these apostles. So again, what are we seeking here this morning? Are we seeking the glory of Christ? Or we are here to see what we can just get out of here? Brings to point number 2. The Lord reveals the motives of the heart. Look in verse 12. And Peter saw it, and he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk?" The people were running and rushing to come see more about the healing of this lame man. And Peter showed us his maturity here. He doesn't say to them, you come because of miracles. Peter didn't say that. Peter could just cut it off right now. Only reason you're here, but you just saw us do the miracles. But Peter let all of them come in. He let all of them come in out of the miracles. Peter like gained an audience around him. Peter has a major audience. They coming in and asking questions, and wow, this man can walk. And all these people show interest. Then after all these people get here, now Peter gets ready to address them. This would be Peter's second sermon here in Acts. He starts his message off like his last sermon on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, he said, men of Judea. But now he says, men of Israel, was referring to everyone that is Jewish. No one is left out in here. From the northern Galileans to the southern, all the way down to the Negev. Everywhere here, he said, men of Israel, of these 12 tribes. Nobody's left out. Nobody get off the hook. This message for all the Jews that say they do not believe. Another thing, Peter just didn't say Jesus is the Messiah either. Peter uses wisdom right now. Peter already know they hate Jesus. He starts the sermon off with questions. And I think we can learn from this even in evangelism, even at work, in the workplace. Peter starts his question out with, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The first question they're trying to get to them to see exactly why they are actually astonished about the healing of this lame man. Peter is asking questions to get to their heart, to see, for them to see the real motives of why they are there at this time. This is exciting, but why is this exciting to you? The next question, get at, why are you staring at the incompetent Galileans? What's so important about us? These questions are already trying to set up the stage for them to take the spotlight off of them and put it on God. That's what Peter is doing. He's already set up the work that they are nothing but Galileans. Why do you stare at us? We're just human. Why are you staring at us? Peter is getting them to see his dad. It's not about us. He asked these questions for them to think about what they're saying. Listen to 13. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorify his servant, Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. He asked questions so he can correct their unbiblical thought. He was ready to point them to God. For the men of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the patriarchs of Israel. The people boasting these men. That's why they would name their son Isaac. They'll name their child Abraham. Abraham was a common name. They also named their son Jacob. These people thought highly of these men, the Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. But even better than that, these people boasted in the God of the patriarchs, that they would say that they submitted to and follow him. And Peter said, this God of Abraham, the God that you love, the God that you say you serve, the God of Isaac, the God that you say you submit to, the God of Jacob, Peter said, that same God you would say you referred to, that same God glorified the servant Jesus. Come on, Peter, calm down, bro. Peter, don't forget, these are the people that hate Christians. Peter, calm down, bro. Early in Peter in the ministry, Peter would run. But now we see the boldness of Peter. Peter said, the same God that you say you serve is the same God that glorified the servant Jesus. But we see here that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob glorified his servant Jesus. And I'm pretty sure these men of Israel were like, you telling me the one that we killed is the one that our father honored? I can see the puzzle on their face right now. You telling me, Peter, that the one that we all come together and celebrate, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, you telling us that God, we're the one we dishonored? But Peter doesn't say they killed Jesus at first. He doesn't say he killed Jesus at first, you notice. He walked them through the timeline of events. He doesn't just start off and saying that you killed Jesus. But he slowly answered with their charges. He starts off by letting them know that they delivered him to Pilate and had a chance to let him go, but y'all still condemned him to death. Waiting on Pilate's approval. Y'all had a chance, but y'all delivered him to Pilate. Pilate tried to release him, but y'all would not let him. Peter didn't stop there. Look at verse 14. But you deny the holy and righteous one and ask for a murderer to be granted to you. Peter's giving it to him. You guys delivered him over. The same God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob glorified the servant Jesus. That same Jesus you guys delivered over. Pilate even wanted to let him go, but you guys wouldn't allow him to. But not only that, you guys denied him. The holy, righteous one. You even asked for Barabbas, the son of the fathers, to be granted to you. The men of Israel, the one that is righteous and has no fault in him, who has kept the law, you threatened Pilate if he released him. The one has kept all the laws, all the righteous laws, but you delivered that man who kept his laws over to death. How could y'all send someone to Pilate who kept the laws perfectly? Y'all are the one that say you love the law. Y'all cultivate y'all whole lives around the law, but a man that actually keep the law, you actually give him over to Pilate and take a criminal for him. Y'all ask for a murderer to be released instead. Who everyone know that he broke the law. Now, Peter, now he moves on. Now he's about to actually share the crushing blow now. He builds all this up. He walks him through it. But now listen, verse 15. These men of Israel. Men of Israel, look at verse 15. And you killed the author of life. Y'all killed the one that gave life to all creation. The one that gives new life to all that believe. Y'all killed him. Peter started off by questioning while they staring at Peter and John, and the man that was lame. They stand like they are interested in following the apostles. But Peter gives them the crushing news. You're not ready to follow us. You're the one that killed Jesus. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all killed the one that actually gave this lame man new life. If y'all want the God that healed this lame man, if y'all really want him, answer the question, why did you kill him? And guess what? Y'all thought he was dead. Y'all thought he was dead. But look what happened. Look in verse 15b. Whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. The Father raised up his Son. And we, Peter, James, and the man that was lame are all witnesses that he's alive. We have many here that are boasting that this Jesus is alive. Peter, James, and the man that was lame, we are here witnessing that he is truly alive. Family, they wanted the benefits of being a follower of Christ, but they didn't want to follow Christ. I think this is what we're seeing around us all today in our day. Many people say they're Christians. On Facebook page, they got on there, they're Christian. They quote Bible verses on Sunday. They share a sermon. I don't know how that sounds like, hey Siri. They share a sermon. They do all these things. But still, we're dishonoring God in the quickest. And not only them, ourselves. We say we're ready to follow Jesus. But when the going get tough, we give in. We give in to temptation. We want to fit in with friends. We want to be light. Jesus is not enough for us. So we seek other things to fill those voidness. We don't want tragedies. We want a lot of comfort, money, stability. We don't want to suffer, do we? We want everything to go good. All the money in the world, we want it. We want God to give us all these things. We want to live free, don't we? But to follow Christ, it doesn't work that way. To say you believe in Jesus, you lose it all. You might not be as popular. You might not have the most money in the account. You might be teased by people around you. Things might not go well for you in life. Co-workers might make it difficult for you. But when tough times come, we fold. We love Jesus. Just recently, we got that stimulus check, don't we? The Lord blessed us. We thank the Lord. We want the second one. We want all these benefits that the Lord gives to us and he graciously gives us. But when it's time to honor God, when trials come, we fold. And that's what I think these people are doing right here in the text. They saw this man, lame man, was being healed. They wanted all these miracles, but they didn't want to turn and die to self. How do we know that? Because they was the one that killed the author of life. Because when we get uncomfortable like these men, we quickly act like these men. When we get uncomfortable in this life, when things doesn't go our way, we just want these things from God and not suffer for him. We want a cheap Christianity with no suffering. Please turn off the TVs. Turn off the TBNs, all these other channels that tell you if you call this number, God's going to give you this blessing. You call this number, you pray God is going to do this for you. Cut that off. Family, listen to me. Kids that say you want to follow Jesus, want to believe in Jesus. When you follow Jesus, the road get hard. Your siblings going to provoke you. Your friends at work going to give you a hard time. But to follow Jesus is to leave everything behind, to deny self, because you know you have a better prize right in the head. You know heaven is your home. You look forward to that place. So let us not come today presenting ourselves to be so bold. And we are the first one willing to put Christ to death because of our loneliness. But when the urge to follow our desires come, we should quickly be reminded of our union in Christ, that nothing can separate us from God. So let us not laugh right now at Israel and these unbelievers. But let us see that it's only by God's grace that he keeps us. And by him keeping us, that we don't have to give in. We can be reminded of our union in Christ. It brings to our last point. Our only hope is faith through Jesus. In verse 16. Look at verse 16. In his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. The men of Israel are hearing an earful from Peter. They were interested in the miracles that healed the lame man, but they wasn't interested in the one that performed the miracle, which is Jesus through his apostles. It was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth this man was healed. Jesus was truly present by the Spirit by healing this man. And Peter didn't say at the name of John or Peter, but he said the name of Jesus. It wasn't Peter that healed this man. Peter stood in the bath of Jesus. Jesus was working in through Peter to do this. Again, the apostles are just clay, and Jesus is the potter. Jesus, who healed in his ministry, is the one that's healing now and through the apostles in the book of Acts. It's Jesus. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's not dead. He's working through the apostles, and he's healing. The same Jesus that the unbelievers put to death. It's like these men of Israel thought that Jesus was finally gone, but now we see that Jesus raised up more men now, just like him, that he's actually living through it. They thought Jesus was dead, but now Jesus grows up a church. A church. And in that church, you have an individual Christian. And that Christian is living a life how Christ has called them to live. Now you have thousands and thousands of Christians now, just like Christ, are living a life suffering, being ready to be put to death for the name of Christ's sake. Family, as they kill Christians, as they kill Christ, the church grows. They can't stop us. The reason why they can't stop us, because Christ has overcome the grave. He is the one that's empowering this church, and nothing can come over his church. And one day he's going to come back and grab his church. That's why his church is going to go forward in power, triumphant. In this world, even in the Sin City of Palm Bluff, people say, why do people keep building churches around here? All these churches and everything under them are taking money. The church is not an answer to this. We got to do it ourselves. But for us, we know the church actually works. Because it's one that overpowers the church. It's the one that actually uses the church for its own glory. A true biblical church is the solution for the city. A true biblical church that proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ to a broken world is the solution of the city. Not a mayor, not a city council. I thank the Lord for those different avenues, but they cannot bring true hope. Only thing they can do is try to minimize the crime. Only thing they can try to do is try to keep structure. They can try to do those same things, but they can't deal with the heart. Only the gospel can do that. The gospel can turn the heart. And that's what Peter is getting at here. That you guys thought you had it all together. You guys want these miracles, but your heart is far away from him. Look at this lame man that's walking. Jesus healed him. And Jesus healed him because Jesus gave this man faith. And he trusted in Jesus. And Jesus healed this man. And that when the Lord gave him perfect life, perfect health, it wasn't because of the apostles, it was because of Jesus. The Lord didn't foresee his faithfulness. The Lord didn't say, I know he's going to be faithful, let me heal him. No, the Lord done a work in him before he was even born. He's faithful because the Lord made him faithful. He don't have anything to boast. Only thing he can boast for is in the Lord. The Lord commanded him to get up, and he obeyed the Lord's command, which is evidence of faith. If he would have not believed Jesus would heal, he would have mocked and yelled at Peter. Think about it. This man probably heard millions of people to come in town. I can heal you. I know somebody can heal you. He probably tired of hearing this. He's probably up in age. Now you hear Peter tells him to rise up and walk. Why did he listen to Peter and not these other people? I'm pretty sure he gave up on listening to everybody else. But so happily, he heard the word proclaimed to him and he got up and walked. Family, that's conversion. That's us. When we were dead in our sin and our trespasses, we have heard the gospel many times. But all of a sudden, one time we hear the gospel, we rise up and our faith is in Christ. And the reason for that? Because Christ done a work in us. He made us alive in Christ. This lame man was not perfect. He knew he wasn't. He knew he needed a Savior. But these men of Israel don't think they need a Savior. They don't think they have problems. This lame man knew he needed help. But these unrighteous people that are before Peter, for them, they think they got it all together. We are holding the law. We killed Jesus. We doing everything right. They thought they had it all together, but they are the ones that actually was lost. We heard from Peter in point number two that they can't save themselves and they are guilty of killing Christ. But there is hope. Just like the hope that was given to this lame man, hope can be given to you men of Israel. It can be given to you men of Israel. And next week, we will hear, or in a couple weeks, we will hear Peter plead with them to repent because they are guilty before God. And for us today, we wasn't there 2,000 years ago saying, crucify him, crucify him. We wasn't there, were we? No. We're no one in this room is 2,000 years old. But we all are guilty because we mock the author of life. We're living in lives in opposition to him with our sin. So we might not have been there. But 2020, we have sinned against God. We are just as much there 2,000 years ago. So I plead with you, just as Peter please with them in the next couple weeks. Repent and turn from your ways. And the Lord will blot out your sins. But if you don't repent, your sins will be before you on the day of judgment. So turn to Christ today and put your faith in Christ. And those that are believers here today, don't forget what Christ has done for you. Continue trusting Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Yeah.